This is The Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine. We will welcome in two guests from different political perspectives in just a moment to talk about the top stories in state and national politics. But first, John Munson is here as we are in the last hour of the last weekday of the year-end membership drive. So if you've been meaning to make a pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio to support what you value, to support the programming that you listen to, and you are listening now, here's a good time for you to make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, Joy, last hour we heard from 34 pledgers, including, I'm happy to say, 14 first-time pledgers to Wisconsin Public Radio. So welcome to the family. We raised over $10,000.
How
actually,
did we do that?
$16,000 when you include the match we had
last hour.
So that was a big hour for us. But like Sisyphus, we get to start at the bottom of the hill again this hour and push that rock back to the top. We have a goal of 45 pledges. Now, you know, you keep hearing us talk about these hourly goals. Well, they are important because that's what helps us stay on track financially so we can keep the discussion going strong on Wisconsin Public Radio. So take a moment right now to support the programs with your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
John, I am going to miss comments like that from you as you are going to be retiring at the end of this month. That's right. If you haven't heard it yet, John Munson, who fills in on this program when I'm on vacation, is retiring. He's also our regional manager based in Superior, and he also is our pledge drive guru. He is. This is his last pledge drive. He is retiring. We are going to miss him very, very much. You can post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page if you want to give him a little farewell message or some retirement advice.
Or tell me not to let the door hit me on the way out. Either way, as long as you make a pledge, I don't care.
Right. I was going to say, you can also make a pledge, as some have, which I think is very nice. Some have made an extra year-end gift or a pledge and passed along a little retirement comment or a thank you to John at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, we say this a lot during pledge drive, and it does bear repeating that people who listen, people like you, provide the most significant share of WPR's budget, your donation. Think about it as an investment in Wisconsin Public Radio and in programs that deliver the greatest value to you.
Your contribution keeps independent public service radio on the air for you and for the entire community. So give now to keep this going at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, the beauty of this is that we don't expect any one individual or even 100 individuals to carry the costs of this program or Wisconsin Public Radio generally. In fact, there is an advantage to having the bulk of our budget come from thousands of listeners like you.
When we have a wide base of support like that, it makes for a more stable organization. So join in. Become a member. You get to decide how much you want to contribute. Maybe it's $5 a month or $10 a month, whatever amount. Then pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
During this membership drive, we'd like to say thanks for your support in a very special way. When you pledge $5, $10, or $20 a month to support WPR, you can choose a thank you gift that will provide meals to a Wisconsin food bank in your area. Let the impact of your pledge go beyond great radio, and do two good things with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Joy Cardine with John Munson, asking for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio during this year-end membership drive. You have made a habit of listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. Now, how about making it a habit to donate? It's a good habit, a habit you can be proud of. Get started today. You can help with your pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR.org, 888-202-2552. 45, the magic number of pledges we're looking for this hour on the Joy Cardine Show. Make yours the next pledge and help us out. Your pledge does make a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It really does help.
Thank you, John, and thank you to Michael from Mondovi, who told us every radio in our house and car is tuned to WPR. It's like a solid sonic wall of learning and information for our family every day. I love that. Lisa from Oneida also pledged. She says, I love listening to WPR every morning while working, and the food bank donation makes it even better. That's right. You can do two good things at once. With a pledge of $5, $10, or $20 a month, you can ask for the food bank gift, which will benefit a food bank in your area. So thank you, Lisa, and thanks to all of you for your pledges to Wisconsin Public Radio. Now let's talk about what you're pledging for. This is the Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine. As always, we have with us two guests from different political perspectives to talk with you about the top issues in the news this week. We'll start probably with cabinet picks and President-elect Donald Trump on his thank you tour and what he's saying on that thank you tour. 1-800-642-1234 if you'd like to join in with a thought or bring up an issue. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We have with us Joe Winicky, a former state senator, former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
And Chris Lotto is with us, a former communications director for the Republican Party of Wisconsin and a GOP campaign consultant. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Joy and Joe.
Good morning.
It's good to have you both with us. So President-elect Donald Trump named more than a few cabinet picks this week. Maybe notably one of the ones that's getting the most attention, the new head of the Environmental Protection Agency. He chose Oklahoma Attorney General Scott Pruitt, who is a global warming skeptic and a critic of the EPA and EPA regulations, as his Secretary of the Environmental Protection Agency. Starting with Chris, what do you make of that pick?
Yeah, well, I know we have a list of a lot of picks to discuss today, and I think this is probably the most controversial. I don't think there's even much of a contest on that one. Looking forward to this. In general, I think it's been an interesting mix. This is the one that's causing the most ripples, but I don't know that anybody should be particularly surprised by this. For starters, Donald Trump, I think more than once on the campaign trail, made no secret of his thinking on the EPA, that it excessively regulates, and his pick for the head is not, surprising in that sense. So I think that this is one thing that I've seen that I think, you got to make this point again. As much as a lot of people don't like the fact that Donald Trump won, the fact is, he is the president. He does get to make these choices, controversial though they may be. I am quite certain that, Attorney General Scott Pruitt is going to undergo a lot of scrutiny as he's being confirmed. But his pick is very much in line with what Donald Trump said on the campaign trail and their thoughts on EPA and how they really want to dial back the overregulation that occurred under President Obama. So I don't think this is a particularly surprising pick.
Do you think it's a good pick, Joe?
No. Oh, but there's a litany of them. Let's see. Ben Carson at HUD. Let's see. A guy who wants to dismantle the social safety net overseeing those programs. That Pudsner guy from Hardee's, who doesn't believe in the minimum wage or the Affordable Care Act is supposed to regulate labor. How about Betty DeVos, who is a privatization fan leading the Federal Department of Education, which deals with public education. The list goes on. We have a carnival barker as a president who seems to have delusions of godhood.
Let's talk a little bit about he didn't pick Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark to be Homeland Security. What do you think of that, Joe?
Well, thank God. But I suspect if Sheriff Clark wants a federal appointment, there will be one for him somewhere.
Yeah. Well, Joe just went through a list of how of all that he finds.
There's more
with.
Than that,
yeah.
Too.
Well, what about EPA? Is it the end of the EPA if we have a critic of the EPA heading it?
Why can't someone in the Republican Party believe in science? I mean, virtually every scientist in the world is noting that the temperature keeps going up and that we're hitting potential calamity stage. The ice caps are melting. We have a serious, serious, serious problem in this country and in this world. And I'm afraid we're going to spend the next 4 years denying anything ever happened so that we can dismantle the federal government, cut taxes for the rich, and then we're going to say, look what we did for you.
So how do you respond to Republicans not believing in science, Chris Lotto?
I think there are a fair number of them that believe in science. I think Joe is exaggerating just a little bit. I did want to ask, after Joe, I'm not in the studio, after Joe rattled off that list, was he foaming at the mouth, Joe?
Yeah,
is he okay?
A little bit.
Okay. So, yeah, I think my earlier point still stands. I do think it's interesting that, and Joe's probably going to laugh at this and say there's nothing behind it, but the fact that Trump met with Al Gore has indicated that he's going to continue meeting with Al Gore, that he met with actor and quote-unquote activist Leonardo DiCaprio to talk about issues related to climate change, suggests that he's at least not completely closed off to the idea of trying to work with the other side.
But
so, while the EPA pick is understandably controversial, I get that, although, again, this is in line with where Trump has been at all along, so there shouldn't necessarily be a whole lot of surprises here. He's at least shown some tentative indications of trying to reach out and perhaps trying to find some common ground on some issues. So, I don't think we can completely discount that.
Well, Chris, my concern I think any president, any governor has a right to pick whoever they want to run their agencies. I don't like these picks, but it's the president-elect's choice. I get that. What my concern is, Donald Trump has never shown that he has any penchant for detail. He is somebody who likes to shoot from the lip and worry about consequences later. That means that these department heads are going to have an incredible amount of say over their agencies, and that's why these picks like Scott Pruitt scare the dickens out of me.
We have
I'm sorry, can I just quickly interrupt on that point? Mm-hmm. I know where that's coming from. I get that, Joe. I understand. But I also think that, as we saw throughout the campaign, Donald Trump kind of had this habit of seeming to go in one direction, but ultimately, to his credit, or you can not credit him with this. I mean, it ultimately seems like his say goes, and that he has often been willing to, disagree with those around him who are telling him to go one way, he'll go the other. So, we saw that time and time again, where we saw the GOP establishment attempt to sort of insert itself into the process of his campaign. And he continued to zig when they told him to zag and so on. So I feel like, in a sense, his cabinet may be there to provide some loyal opposition. But I do think at the end of the day, his say is going to carry the day.
Let me bring in a caller.
He's going to have these people around him. I don't think that necessarily means he's going to go in that direction every single time. And I think the past, at least, has borne that out.
Ned in Lake Dubay wants to talk about Pruitt. Go ahead, Ned.
Yes, the question of human-caused climate change is supported by 100% of climate science societies and 97% of those who have devoted their life to studying this issue in climate science. And the transition from fossil fuels to renewable energy will occur this century. It's just a matter of when. If we move faster, we leave a better world for our children and grandchildren, and this is not a Democratic or Republican issue. It's really all Americans should be concerned, and most are concerned about leaving a better world for our children and having better health. For example,
okay, Ned, what would you like our guest to address?
My question is, will this nomination be confirmed by the Senate when it's so outrageously the worst possible person that could be nominated to the position?
Joe, do you have any reason to believe why any of this appointment might not be confirmed?
No, I expect all of his appointments will get confirmed. It's the president's prerogative, and they usually give it. By the way, Ned, you do live in a very beautiful part
yep.
of the state.
Yeah. We touched on this, you did, Joe, but tell us why you're so concerned about the Labor Secretary pick. Andrew Puzder, the chief executive of the company that operates Hardee's and Carl's Jr. So,
besides the fact they make a lousy burger.
So what does this pick tell us about the direction we're moving in with regard to working people?
Well, federal agencies, one of their key functions is to protect the laws of the land. And one of the laws we have is a minimum wage. And anybody, and he doesn't even believe in a minimum wage. Of course, he wants to pay people $7.50, $8 an hour to flip hamburgers. But, you know, my God, to the federal poverty rate for one, to if you worked full-time and played by the rules, you've got to make almost $12 an hour just to get to poverty. And we haven't raised the minimum wage in a decade. We're not going to raise it for four more years. We're going to see a continuation of the rich getting richer, the poor getting poorer. And Pudsner is the epitome of that goal of the rich getting richer and the heck with everybody else. I think it's just a horrific choice.
Chris?
Well, first of all, I don't want to turn this into a Hardee's bashing. I haven't been there in years either, but I'm sure there are many great people that work there.
I'm sure there are great
people. Get that out of the way.
I'm sure there are.
I'm just pulling your chain, Joe. The minimum wage hasn't been increased in a decade. I think that, again, you know, I think we're already saying, you know, these names are getting thrown out there and we're already saying, oh, my God, the next 4 years are going to be awful. It's going to be terrible. And you know, you got to give these people a chance to get into office and lead. Yeah, I mean, you can look at their past performance and say, okay, well, this is where he's going to be in the future. But I get the sense that Donald Trump is not necessarily going to be like that, that at least he's going to be open to considering all possibilities. And I'm not going to put words in his mouth and say he's going to consider raising the minimum wage. But, you know, I think these kinds of things are going to be on the table. And once he gets in there and starts doing his job, he's going to see what needs to be done, and he's going to address those things. But, yeah, his record is one of, you know, he is in opposition to the minimum wage. And, of course, that's going to have the left crying foul because they've been lobbying for this absurd $15 an hour, you know, minimum wage, which is ridiculous and would really kill a lot of businesses throughout the U.S. So that's an absurd idea. The best that you could probably do is to raise it incrementally, but to just jack it up to $15 an hour is ridiculous, but that's why the left is crying out like wounded animals because this guy is Trump's pick.
Briefly, because we're against the clock, Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark was passed over for Trump's pick to be Homeland Security Secretary. Instead, retired Marine General John Kelly got the nod. Trump's chief of staff, Franz Priebus, insists that they do want to get Clark involved in the administration at some level. Chris, your thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, first of all, I'm sure Sheriff Clark is Joe's favorite Democrat, but, you know, it's not a big surprise. I mean, obviously, if you look at the resumes of Sheriff Clark and General Kelly, who was, you know, Trump's pick for DHS, it becomes clear that was the appropriate choice. You know, Trump is casting a large net, and I think, in a sense, he's going well beyond those who stumped for him earlier this year to look for, you know, who he considers to be, you know, the best qualified for these positions. And, yeah, there are indications that Sheriff Clark can have an administration post if he wants one. So, you know, all is not lost for him either.
Yeah. I know you commented on Clark already, so let me get you, Joe, to comment on Iowa Governor Terry Branstad is Trump's choice to be the next U.S. ambassador to China. He has led several trade missions to China and has known China's president since 1985. What do you think of this pick, Joe? Will this maybe ease the tension between the U.S. and China?
Probably not, but I think it's a fine pick.
Yeah. Chris?
Yeah, I think, and this is one of those picks, this is an interesting choice. And, you know, unless I missed it, seems to be relatively non-controversial. I think Joe's, the thoughts here would back that up. I mean, Branstad is a pro-trade guy. As Iowa governor, he cultivated what, by all accounts, is a pretty strong relationship with China. So, you know, on the one hand, you have that Trump talking by phone with Taiwan. You know, and everybody just lost their minds over that because, you know, what they thought it would do to U.S.-China relations. And then he picks an ambassador who's well-known for working with China. So I think it's these kind of things that suggest Donald Trump is craftier and a little bit smarter than so many of us were willing to give him credit for.
But no ambassador, Chris, no ambassador does anything without the president's imprimatur.
Well, that is true. I mean, what I said before about, you know, what the president says at the end of the day goes, and that certainly carries for a U.S. ambassador. You're absolutely right. But I think what Trump did was he established that he's not going to be a pushover when it comes to China, and he's not going to be beholden to the establishment way of doing things. And I think he's also sending a signal, a fairly strong one, that, you know, he does want to keep working on that relationship.
And Branstad was an early supporter.
Yeah, we have
that is true.
We are past break time, so let me take a short break, and we will welcome more calls. Coming up, we're going to talk. We'll talk about Trump's thank you tour that he's on. We'll also talk about a flap between Congressman Sean Duffy and Congressman Mark Pocan. And we'll welcome anything else that you want to talk about from the news this week at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, along with John Munson, as this is our year-end membership drive, and we are asking for your financial support. Your financial support is the foundation for all the great discussions you enjoy on the Ideas Network every day. So make your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, Joy, we've made some progress since the last time we spoke, but we're still looking for 38 more people to make pledges between now and 9 o'clock this morning. So give to WPR to support the station you love. It's your public radio.
A large slice of Wisconsin Public Radio's budget pie, the biggest slice is listener support. So while all of our funding sources, the state and federal government and businesses, are important, your contribution makes a huge difference. WPR is the service that it is thanks to listener support. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, we sure have made things easy. If you want to make a pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio, it's a quick and easy process. And when you become a sustainer, you really simplify your donation. You can make automatic monthly gifts from your bank account or credit card, and then that support renews automatically each year, so your membership is always current. So here's all you have to do. Pick an amount that works for you, say $10 a month, and become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now let's admit it. Sometimes we spend money on silly things.
I spent money at a silent auction thinking I wouldn't win, and I did, and I won art. That was honestly a little creepy.
1976 MGB. That hasn't run in 20 years. I regret it, and I see it every day in my garage, and I regret it even more.
From creepy art to lemon cars, we've all made questionable decisions about how we spend our money. So it might be time to make a few smart ones. You can start by supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Listener support is the single largest source of funding at WPR. So make a sound investment with your gift to WPR right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This year-end membership drive is a great time to make your year-end gift. It takes just a few minutes of your time. I'm Joy Cardine with John Munson asking you to go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 and make your pledge. You'll be done quickly and you'll have that good feeling of supporting the station that you have enjoyed all year long and that you are looking forward to listening to in 2017.
37 now, as we continue to make progress toward our goal this hour. 37 more pledges to go before 9 o'clock this morning. Yours can be the next. Help us out now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
All right. Thank you, John. And thanks to Dennis from Madison, who said, I listen to WPR every day. It's worth so much more than I can give. That being said, I want to pitch in to help support a station that provides consistently great information and enrichment. And thanks to Aaron from Madison, who told us, I listen to WPR every morning and I felt it was finally time to give back. Well, thanks to all of you for your pledges. Still time for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. This is the Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine, talking today with Chris Lotto and Joe Winicky about the top stories in state and national politics, welcoming your input, too. If you'd like to join us on air, bring up a topic, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Well, it looks like Wisconsin's presidential election recount is on schedule to finish by Monday's deadline, with about 82% of the votes retabulated. Hillary Clinton has gained 61 votes on Donald Trump. And then at a hearing this morning, a federal judge could decide to stop the recount after two pro-Trump PACs filed a lawsuit the day the recount began. So maybe the recount will be stopped today. Joe, you want to talk about whether this recount effort has been worth the time and trouble?
Well, it hasn't.
No?
I mean, it did what I thought. I mean, the margin's too big. I mean, if you were talking like in Florida in 2000 and you're talking 537 votes with hanging chads and all kinds of goofy things going on, that's one thing. But 22,000 votes. The Democrats lost because they lost rural Wisconsin.
Yeah. Well, does this show that we have integrity in our voting systems or anything like that?
Who knows? Yeah. Who knows? I do hope, and I'm glad that Lindsey Graham and John McCain are pursuing this so it would be bipartisan. I do hope that we do follow up at the national level about the potential for Russian involvement in this election, however, because if it is true, it is a very scary thought that should scare Republicans as well as Democrats.
Chris, your thoughts on the recount and the lawsuit to stop it?
Well, I mean, geez, what a waste of money and time. And to Joe's point, the margin was too big. And I think any reasonable person would have said it's very unrealistic to expect the results to change. And it's been borne out. And it's almost unfortunate that the lawsuits are proceeding, because it would be nice to just have a definitive answer on this and say, no, I mean, the results are the results, whether you like them or not. Donald Trump won Wisconsin. And trust me, I'm as shocked as anybody that happened. So
I was shocked.
I'm sure the vast majority of people in Wisconsin were shocked. But the results and the recount, the results of the recount should not be shocking really to anybody. I mean, we've seen a grand total of a few dozen votes moving one way or the other. And it would be, perhaps good to sort of silence the naysayers once and for all. By not having this lawsuit go ahead and stop at the recount before it comes to an end, because again, the results are not going to change. But to Joe's point, I agree with the idea, although there has been zero evidence of any sort of tampering that's been presented by anybody at this time, but the idea that we want to protect the integrity of our elections, it's the same reason why Republicans have been arguing for a kind of voter ID law in Wisconsin, and why we've been pushing on that for at least a decade or more now, because we want to protect the integrity of the election. So I think Joe's point at the end there about making sure that there was no, involvement at the national level in any way in any sort of hacking, let's prove that once and for all as well and get that out of the way. I definitely agree that both sides should be concerned about protecting the integrity of our elections.
I got to admit, on election night about 10:30, I found a bottle of single malt scotch and opened it.
You don't usually drink?
I don't drink scotch that often. Yeah. I was shell-shocked.
Well, let me just bring this up now. Donald Trump is on his thank you tour. He was in Iowa last night, and he will be in Wisconsin on Tuesday, presumably after the deadline of the recount. Joe, you were shell-shocked. He lost rural, Democrats lost rural Wisconsin to Donald Trump.
By the margins that they lost. Western Wisconsin usually is very reliably Democratic in the presidential election. But until the Democrats figure something out, and I wouldn't be surprised if Chris agrees with me on this, is that for the last 20 or 30 years, the Democrats tell you what's wrong with the Republicans. They did this with Scott Walker. They did it in this presidential election. The most brilliant political strategist I've seen in the last 40 years was Newt Gingrich when he did the contract with America in 1994. He just spelled out 10 simple things. I disagreed with most of them, but it was a rallying point that people could say, if you vote for me as a Republican, this is what we're going to do. If you ask people why you should vote for the Democrat in the last several elections, what is your answer?
You answer that.
Well, you've got to get back to basic stuff. We've got to be standing up to say that we are going to guarantee that every child in this state gets a decent and fair education. We've got to say, yes, we should be talking about the minimum wage, but we've got to be talking about places in small towns. You see, there's a discrepancy. If you're living in Appleton or Waukesha or Dane County or Eau Claire or La Crosse, the economy's not bad. Go to Shullsburg. Go to Wyoda. It's not the same. And these people are hurting, and we've got to talk to them, and we've got to talk to them in a simple language. I said this during the break, but Donald Trump reminds me of Huey Long, the kingfish, the governor of Louisiana, who probably most people never heard of. He was a demagogue. And eventually, at first, he was very popular, and I think Trump could become much more popular than he is today for a while, but it will wear off. But he talked to the masses. Donald, when Huey Long said, "Every man a king," how different is that than "Make America Great Again"?
When Trump comes to Wisconsin, he's going to go to West Allis, which is where he canceled a campaign rally before the election, and it's an area of the state where he wasn't the most popular among Republicans. Maybe you can react to that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's West Allis is a good population center, and I think the fact that he won Wisconsin, I'm sure he won't have any shortage of supporters that are going to turn out to hear him speak. And, you know, I think Joe was very eloquent in how he put it. I don't know if I can top it, but I'm going to try anyway. I think that Joe's absolutely right on. I think that the real issue, and it became really apparent when you look at the map and you look at the Electoral College results, that Democrats are really in danger of becoming the party of the coastal elites. And when you look at the map, you see that being borne out. And I think that, you know, for a party that preaches, you know, inclusion and include everybody, they've excluded one key demographic, and that is the white working class, I think, has been feeling like they've been left behind. And I think that is reflected in the rural vote that we saw in Wisconsin. I think minority populations are feeling like the Democrats are sort of taking them for granted as well. And I think it's because their message has been one of, this is what we're not, as opposed to this is what we are, and this is what we stand for, and this is what we're going to do for you. Certainly Hillary Clinton's campaign, left a lot of people feeling left behind. And I think that, again, was borne out in the results. And I think the party, and maybe hasn't learned its lesson because they put Nancy Pelosi back in, that they need to sort of reassess the way they're approaching things. You know, that said, the election results were a big surprise for certainly for me. I did not expect the outcome. There were certain races that I was not surprised by. Ron Johnson winning did not surprise me. I knew all along that he was going to do fine. But I think Donald Trump recognizes that, you know, West Allis and the Milwaukee area, at the end of the day, despite all of the Trump naysayers that were out there on talk radio and the like, eventually enough of them came home to support him. And I think that led to what we saw, which was a very surprising result.
Trump must have thought he was going to lose Wisconsin, too, because why would you have canceled that last-minute stop in West Allis unless his people thought they had to go elsewhere?
Yeah, I think so. And I think there was still that beef going on. You know, there's a lot of, I mean, we all remember the campaign and how every other day, you know, Trump would say something or something else would come to light and everybody would run to distance themselves. And I think we were in the middle of a little Trump-Paul Ryan issue at that time, too, if memory serves. But, you know, you look at the other side of that and you say, well, geez, Hillary Clinton took it so much for granted that she had it in the bag that she never even showed up in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. Big mistake.
And I think that clearly hurt her.
Well, we very briefly, just because the Wisconsin, former Wisconsin Democratic Party chair, Joe, who do you think nationally should take over the reins from Wasserman Schultz, who's no longer there? Should it be Keith Ellison or Howard Dean or someone else?
Howard Dean's not running anymore.
Oh, he's not.
He obviously dipped his toe. Reminds me of another guy from Wisconsin who tried to make a comeback. Oh, that was me. they forget. You know, when I was party chair, we won everything. Nobody remembered 6-8 years later.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't. But I think Howard was a great party chair, and we did great things when he was party chair, and I would have supported him if he had run. I'm a little concerned about Keith Ellison personally. I know Ray Buckley is running. He's the chair of the New Hampshire party, and he should not be discounted because he's been the this is something Chris would understand, I know, nobody else maybe, but he's been the head of the Association of State Chairs for a number of years, and so he's got a lot of internal party support. And it's not all the elected officials who determine who the party chair is, it's the rank and file DNC members.
Yeah, I'm going to very quickly go to our next topic, which is the one that's getting a lot of attention, certainly in Madison, where Republican U.S. Representative Sean Duffy of Wausau was not happy about the presidential recount in Wisconsin and had some choice words for the Dane County in particular and the city of Madison. Let's take a listen to what Sean Duffy said on Fox News last week.
We only have one county that's hand counting the votes. That's Dane County, which is the home of Madison. It's
yes.
The progressive liberal communist community of Madison. And they're taking as long as they can. The Stein and Hillary folks that are on the ground are taking as much time contesting ballots, slow walking as much as they can, so we can't get these votes certified.
So, by the way, Dane County is not the only county adding counting the votes by hand. 48 others are also counting by hand. Democratic Congressman Mark Pocan, who represents Madison, took exception to Duffy's comments. He demanded an apology. Duffy responded on Twitter by saying that if anyone was offended, he'll have a therapy dog sent to their safe place of choice in Madison. Starting with Chris, did Sean Duffy cross a line with this communist Madison comment?
Well, I had myself on mute, and I have to admit I chuckled when I heard him say that. But, look, people need to simmer down just a little bit. Many of us out there have been referring to the capital city as the People's Republic of Madison for an awfully long time now. And, was it the most sensitive thing in the world for a sitting congressman to say? No, I'll grant you that. But, you know, geez, take a deep breath and calm down. I do think there's a teachable moment here, because I think those on the left in Wisconsin can maybe take some time to realize how they're being perceived and maybe look instead at, you know, ways that we can work together, or the point that we were both making earlier about, you know, telling us what you're for instead of what you're against, and trying to rebuild the coalitions that you're clearly, you know, losing, instead of this kind of dug-in, hard-headed approach that, you know, look, time and time again we're seeing is not winning them any supporters when it comes time to vote.
Wait a second, Chris. It was Sean Duffy who was making the cheap shot stuff about Dane County. He was the one playing the negative cheap shot card here. It wasn't Mark Pocan who was defending his district.
Maybe I misspoke. No, and Mark Pocan has to do what he has to do on behalf of his people. You got to stand up for him. So of course he's going to make a stink about it. That shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. And I admit it. It was not the smartest thing in the world for Sean Duffy to say. I agree. And if I misspoke, I apologize.
Not on what Chris said there. I understand where he's coming from, but this comment is part of a larger narrative that Trump has enhanced by his tweets and all of the other weird stuff that comes out of this guy's mouth. And what I'm afraid of is we've become such a partisan society since 2000 anyway, ever since the Bush v. Gore. America has become Republicans and Democrats and nothing in between. And I long for the day where there was some common decency amongst elected officials. When I was in the legislature, until the tail end, it really started to change in the mid-90s, Democrats and Republicans, we fought like crazy, but we, at the end of the day, we got along. And these cheap shot attacks by both parties, but especially in the era of Trump, I'm afraid it's just going to get worse and escalate.
Yeah, so you think that Duffy should apologize?
Absolutely. Look, he should have said my first comments were inopportune. Instead, he doubled down.
Well, I agree. And, you know, Joe, I remember from being as a reporter, I mean, Joe was, you know, fiercely partisan in a lot of ways, but also Joe is a fundamentally good guy. And I think that, you know, he's talking about a time that wasn't too far back in Wisconsin, where you could argue about these things and yet you could potentially find common ground, and you treated each other with basic decency. And I will say that it doesn't wear well on either party, and certainly doesn't wear well on Republicans, when they're not willing to just sort of, you know, do the job they were elected to do, and this kind of unseemly sort of, well, now we won, now we're going to grind them into the ground with our boot heel is not a classy way to go about it.
You know, it's funny because when I reminisce, because that's all you get to do when you're getting old. right, John? Yeah. I wore a jacket and tie for John here today. But the reality is the best stuff I did in the legislature, I was working with Republicans like Mike Ellis and Joe Leon and Peggy Rosenzweig. Those days are over.
You know, John is here. John Munson is here. And we do have to give you a quick update on our year-end membership drive this last hour, this last week in review during 2016, during this year-end membership drive. We are looking for your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I must say, Joe's wearing a really smart outfit here today. I love the shirt. That's a beautiful shirt. You're all Denny Crane here today. Okay. Well, we need 32. Oh, boy. Glad I looked at the board again. 32 pledges before the end of the hour here, before 9 o'clock. So we've got about 13 minutes to get them to make our goal for this hour. So that means that your gift right now is even more important. It's more important than ever that you support the programs like the Joy Cardine Show that you rely on every day.
888-202-2552 or pledge online at WPR.org. We'll be right back after this. This is The Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Chris Lotto, former communications director for the Republican Party of Wisconsin and a GOP campaign consultant, and Joe Winicky, a former state senator and former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Rick in Hartford is with us now. Hi, Rick.
Good morning. I just wanted to make a couple of statements. First of all, I think his comments were right on. If you look at the way the Democratic Party has acted in this state in the last 8 years, it's what they have called Scott Walker, what they have called other GOP members, Hitler, the racist for simply differing in opinion.
All right, Rick. Rick, I want to know why you told Bill Martins, our producer, the exact opposite of what you're saying. We would let you on to have the opposite opinion, but I'm really curious why you decided to change your comment.
Because you'll hang up on me.
No, it's just not true. I just want to point that out. We have people from all sorts of different perspectives calling in. We ask you to say what you're going to say on the air, and we'll let you say it on the air as long as it's civil and on topic. But he says that Sean Duffy was right. That and you're entitled to that opinion. Let me just follow up though, since we talked about this and. Joe, you think that he should apologize. Do you think, Chris Lotto, that Duffy should apologize?
No.
Why not?
I mean, I don't. I mean, I think it was, you know, a little insensitive, but I think he was making a point. I don't think he, you know, I think he's using the same line that a lot of us use, I think, at least partially in jest for some time now, and I think it's being, you know, blown way out of proportion. I do think, though, that going forward, it's incumbent on all of us to get back to that point of civility to try and just say, all right, look, we've been elected, we won, we have very clear majorities in Congress, we have a president that nobody thought was going to win, but here we are, so now it's time for us to lead. And maybe we spend a little less time tossing around the names and just, you know, putting our heads down and getting to work. I mean, I feel like that's what we need to do now. We need to back up, you know, the nation's support for Republicans and their policies and begin to execute on that.
Well,
so if you tell a lie enough times, people are going to believe it. What Duffy did, and it's what's so goofy about it, he just played that, you know, Madison communist card again. By the way, I've lived in Dane County my whole life. I was born at Methodist Hospital not far from here. I've never met a communist that I know of. Second, I don't even know many socialists. Second, when Sean Duffy said that, he had to know that his home county of Marathon was hand-counting the votes. It was just demagoguery. Sean Duffy, just shut up.
Is Sean Duffy going to run against Tammy Baldwin for U.S. Senate, Joe?
I think he may want to. There's a bright light. Sean Duffy, whatever. I do not like what he is saying. I've never thought he was, I'll stop.
Do you think he's positioning himself to run against Tammy Baldwin, Chris?
Well, that would certainly be one way to draw the line, wouldn't it? I mean, I'm not going to pretend to know what's in Sean Duffy's head about what his political future may hold, but I do think he would be an interesting candidate for U.S. Senate, for sure.
Okay. It sure seems that these character people on television seem to be liking to run for office on the Republican side. That's how Sean Duffy got his name, too.
Well, let's we have to move on to another issue. Before we run out of time here, it's always hard doing the weekend review during a pledge drive. So much to talk about in so little time. Transportation funding did get some attention this week, thanks in part to Assembly Speaker Robin Voss's bumpy ambulance ride. Let's take a listen to this.
I never even thought of the difference. This is riding in your car where you think, yeah, there's a pothole, but it's not that big of a deal. Or imagine you're sitting here. Look at this. Holy cow. I can't even imagine what it would be like to be sitting in there. Wow.
So anyway, Robin Voss was taking this ambulance ride to show how bad the shape the roads are in. And he says that he wants everything on the table when it comes to deciding how to fund transportation and road repair. He wants not only a hike in the gas tax to be considered to pay for roads, but also toll roads, higher vehicle registration fees, and other options. Other Republicans, including Governor Walker, say they are opposed to tax hikes unless there's a tax cut elsewhere in the budget. So what's the better approach here, Chris?
Well, this is certainly exposing a lot of, intra-party squabbling here on the side of Republicans. I think the key takeaway here is that there is not a single way to get at this issue of transportation funding. So there has to be some sort of mix of ideas. And there has to be some sort of, on the Republican side, some sort of intra-party compromise that needs to come into play here. I think, the lines are drawn, and the ones that potentially stand to lose the most are the ones who have repeatedly said they oppose tax hikes. And now they're looking at tax hikes as the way to go. So for some Republicans, they kind of have boxed themselves in, and they're the ones who are going to have to justify their change of position. There's a whole mix of things out there. Toll roads as an option, that would involve the federal government, and that would probably take some time to get into place. A gas tax increase alone, which I think would be the first such increase, in a while, would have to be huge to make up and backfill the transportation budget gap alone. And so that alone is obviously not the answer. So we're going to need to see a more comprehensive plan. And I just don't think we're there yet. I mean, it is time for Republicans to start meeting on this and hammer out a solution, one that Governor Walker can support, because having a solid infrastructure is too important to just let that slide.
Senate Minority Leader Jennifer Schilling says Republicans own the problem of coming up with a plan to pay for roads, and that Democrats are ready to talk about the issue once the GOP figures out what it wants to do. Joel, what would you advise Democrats to do about this?
Well, the reality is the Republicans should own this issue. But if you go back to what Chris and I both brought up a little earlier in the show, that's just putting the blame on the other side. What Democrats need to do, and the transportation issue is a classic example of where they could show leadership, is come up with a real plan. And the reality is our transportation fund is a debacle. We need to raise the gas tax by at least a dime right now. We need to re-index the gas tax. This state is not going to want to have huge increases in registration fees. Everybody hates toll roads. There's only so many options. The price of gasoline has been hovering at $2 a gallon for 2 years. If it goes up a 5 cents or 10 cents, nobody even notices. In fact, it went up 5 cents today. I saw it go up. We've got to fix this. People need good roads. Democrats talk in rural Wisconsin. You know our roads are the most important? Rural Wisconsin. Talk about it.
Jennifer Schilling also was asked whether she would consider running for governor in 2018. She said that it would ultimately be a family decision. Really quickly, because we're almost out of time, Joe, who do you think is thinking of running for governor?
I'm for Tim Cullen.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. And
all the way.
Chris, do you think that Jennifer Schilling would be a formidable opponent, or who else?
Is that the same Jennifer Schilling who barely survived her reelection? If it is, then no, she's not very formidable. I think that Scott Walker's numbers are low right now. I think that if he decides to run for re-election, I think he, you know, not knowing who the final candidate would be, I think he's very well positioned to be re-elected. I don't know who the Democrats are going to, you know, ultimately get behind. You know, there could be a Mary Burke sort of situation where somebody just surfaces and they're ready to self-fund and everything else. So, you know, we'll just have to wait and see. I'm sure Joe has more insight into, you know, who might run on the Democrat side than I do. But
I'm still for Tim Kaine.
Probably not the best one.
We'll have to talk about it during another Week in Review. Thanks to both of you for being with us, Chris Lotto and Joe Winicky. And John Munson gets the final minute of the program.
Oh, a whole minute.
Yeah. We cut short our ask time, but it is important. This is the last minute of the year-end pledge drive for the Joy Cartoon Show.
And we need 24 more of you to make a pledge of support to Wisconsin Public Radio to make this hour's goal. You can do it in the next couple of minutes at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your pledge does make a difference.
Katie from Waukesha, thank you very much for your pledge. She says, this year, in lieu of sending holiday greeting cards, we decided to make a donation to WPR. Well, that's a great idea.
Let's make that a trend.
Thank you. Thank you for all the great information and entertainment that you provide. You're welcome, Katie. Thank you for the pledge. You can pledge, too, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
23. The pledges keep coming in. Let's get them. WPR.org, 888-202-2552. It's never been more important for you to make a pledge than right now.
Thanks to Ingrid in West Bend, who says, I love that I can have you on all the time in the car and not have to worry about the kids hearing something they should not. Well, I guess they weren't listening.
They weren't listening to the first hour.
That's right. Thank you very much, Ingrid, for the pledge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thank you, John Munson. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.